If you're looking for insight into what it's like to be autistic, might we suggest the new novel Cassandra in Reverse? In the book, we meet Cassandra Dankworth, a woman who likes everything a certain way, her clothes, her food, her life. But then Cassandra's boyfriend of 4 months dumps her. She's fired from her job, and the cafe where she always goes for banana muffins doesn't have any. The resulting chaotic emotions overwhelm her. But then Cassandra discovers she's able to go back in time. Not decades, a few months at the most, but it could be enough to fix a few things. Unfortunately, as Cassandra discovers, it's not that simple. Again, the book is Cassandra in Reverse, and the author is Holly Smale. And she joins us now. Welcome, Holly.
Hi, it's so nice to be here.
Holly, when we say the book gives readers an insight into what it's like to be autistic, you're writing what you know. Can you explain?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the representations we see of autistic people are often written from the outside in. I'm autistic. I was diagnosed a couple of years ago, and I just wanted to have a voice out there that was from the inside out.
And I would love to just clarify with you, you prefer to be called autistic rather than a person with autism. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, so for me, it's inherent to who I am. There is no me that exists without being autistic. So for me, the idea that with autism makes me feel like I've got like a handbag I can put down. And it's also an expression we tend to use when there's something wrong, but it isn't. It's part of who I am and it's part of my identity. So for me, I'm an autistic person, not someone who is with autism, because obviously there would be no me without it.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of Cassandra is you. How much did you write some of, you know, the things that the outside world, it's really, I feel like this story, a reflection of how the outside world treats an autistic person or mistreats or misinterprets or doesn't fully understand. And I wonder if some of that is your experience.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Cassandra's me. It's quite awkward how much of it is me, because I knew that if I was going to do a portrayal of an autistic person, the only real experience I have of that is my own. And it felt quite close to the bone a lot of the times I was writing.
So we're in first person in the book because we're really in Cassandra's head the entire time, seeing the world as she sees it. So I'd love to talk about her because she's incredibly smart. She's unable to read emotions of others, which causes a lot of problems for her. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of my experiences that I've always struggled with is, I believe it's called avexithymia, which I didn't know for most of my life there was a name for it, but it's the inability to or struggle with identifying, expressing and processing emotions. So it's not that I don't feel emotions and it's not that I don't recognise emotions in other people. I'm just not quite sure what they are at any given moment. And for me, I tend to see them as colours rather than as words, because I feel like there's not enough words to really like tie into the emotions that I'm experiencing. So yeah, so that's something that I gave to Cassandra as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I found it very empowering because it actually made me stop and think about things that I was experiencing and maybe wonder if colours might be a better help for me in terms of processing an emotion than a word. You know, I think that there's so much power in that description, and it comes time and time again. We see Cassandra go to a colour rather than go to a word like anger or irritation or whatever she's feeling. We see Cassandra's having this gift because she remembers everything that's happened to her. So she comes up with ideas for how to fix the past. And I'm wondering if that kind of came from your very detailed memory for past events.
I didn't realise, you know, it was a particularly strong quality of mine until people started to point it out as I got older, that I seem to remember everything. Like I have a memory of an elephant. My short-term memory is terrible, but my long-term memory is incredibly detailed and I seem to hold on to everything. That can make it quite hard to move forward. It can make it hard to, you know, move on with your life. And I have a tendency, like a lot of autistic people, to loop, to go back to familiar things, to repeat. And, you know, I think that giving Cassandra that memory, like mine, where it felt like it was just a constant moving film throughout your entire life, that I can go back to at any moment and just press pause and examine, because that is how I, you know, if I've been in relationships that have failed, I have found myself at the end going through that relationship in incredible detail, watching it as if it's a film playing out and trying to pinpoint what exact moment things went wrong, which, you know, facial expression I shouldn't have pulled, which emotion I didn't understand properly from them, which made things worse, and trying to alter it. So it just felt like a really natural part of the story to have this woman who, you know, it, because time doesn't feel quite as, it feels perhaps slightly different to the way a lot of other people experience time. It felt like something that she would naturally try to manipulate, to control, to edit, and to loop.
I think, you know, this really shows us, you know, how a neurodiverse mind works. And we want to give our listeners a little sense of Cassandra's mind. There's a scene in the book where she redoes a first date with Will, the boyfriend who dumped her. Mm-hmm. And Cassandra's Googled how to establish a personal connection because she knows it's something she has trouble with. But on the date, she finds herself staring at her glass of wine instead of looking at Will. I'd love for you to read to us what happens next.
I will do. Every single list, without fail, includes make eye contact. Apparently, there have been copious studies done about the importance of eyeball-to-eyeball connection, which is unfortunate because the sensation of knitting needles being stabbed through my pupils to the back of my brain somewhat reduces my ability to feel sexy or romantic. With immense effort, I lift my eyes and stare at Will. The moment our eyes connect, there's an intense rush of warmth, intimacy, bonding. It's working. But the longer I hold it, the more intense and painful it becomes. How long is right? It feels a bit like offering to hold a baby and then realising you have no idea when to hand it back again without being rude. 8 seconds, 10 seconds, 12 seconds. Will clears his throat and looks away, and I think it's just gone from romantic to serial killer in 15 seconds.
Is this a situation that's happened to you? Like, have you found yourself wondering, because, you know, and I, it's fascinating throughout the whole book, like the things that clearly Cassandra and maybe you have been told, Cassandra's voice is too loud. Cassandra is overreacting. Like they're in parentheses, and it's kind of like you can see it's the way the outer world sees her not doing some things that we're quote unquote supposed to do, have an inside voice or not overreact or make eye contact. You hit a lot of those things in a way that maybe neurotypical people might never think about. But now through our character Cassandra, we're being forced to.
Yeah, for me, you know, I didn't know I was autistic until I was 39. So that's nearly four decades of having no idea that there's anything. I knew there was something different, but I didn't know what it was. And so every single thing that Cassandra gets told in the book is something that I have been told repeatedly from people. And it is this constant voice. And when you have that from childhood all the way through, it becomes part of you and it becomes part of who you are, the belief that you are all the time doing something wrong or all the time doing something that makes you broken. So that was something I wanted to reflect in the book in a light, funny way, but in that kind of idea that, you know, when you have consumed it and absorbed it, every single moment of your life, you just spend your entire time trying to be something different.
So how do you reclaim that? How for you, have you told yourself that you're good just as you are? Is that possible? Have you been on that path?
I'm on that path. I'm definitely not at the end of it. And it's been ground into me for so long that it's difficult to just let it go. But it is something that I'm doing. And, you know, I got told I was weird the other day in a not particularly pleasant way. And for the first time in my life, I didn't crumble. And I think that slowly but surely, I've started to reclaim those words and go, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's certainly for me power in understanding myself better. And I think even in writing Cassandra, I found power in understanding myself through her.
And we don't want to give anything away because this book really takes some twists and turns.
Yes.
I did find it powerful that at the end of the book, one character, who I'm not going to say who it is, basically has finally come to the realization that if all the people in the world could be like Cassandra, it might be a better world. I wonder if that's what you wanted readers to take away from the book.
I think what I wanted to take away is that, you know, we're all different and differences don't make us less valuable. And it's okay to be wired differently. It's okay to see the world in a different way and experience emotions and sensory issues in a slightly different way. And that we're all valuable and that there are things about us that are amazing and that I really wish other people could experience as well. So, yeah, I'm definitely not saying, you know, we are better, but I'm definitely saying that there are benefits to how we are and how we see the world that other people could potentially learn from.
Holly Smale's book is Cassandra in Reverse. Holly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.